Well, about 20 years ago, it was nothing uncommon to have 8 or 10 get saved every service. Nothing uncommon to have baptize a whole bunch of people at one time. And it was nothing uncommon to have people, the Sunday night crowd was bigger than the Sunday morning. Wednesday night crowd, we didn't lose 10% people. But what's wrong with us now? Well, I'm saying if you go to chapter 20, Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord, and the Bible says he feared the Lord. Now watch. Now watch what happens. Gradually by gradually, go in your Bible, and now look in verse 4. So he feared the Lord. Then the Bible says he asked the Lord to help him. But look down, if you would, in verses 4, to ask help of the Lord. Well, we've got Social Security. We've got 401Ks or whatever that 401K, CDs, whatever. My mother-in-law was 90 years old. She taught me more. She had more of God in her little finger than I'll probably ever get in my life. I was preaching like a wild man, and I was talking about, I said, God taking care of Israel. You just think about Israel. Think about God raining down manna from heaven. I said, people today think more of government than they think of God himself.
Right.
Ain't that a fact?
Right.
I said, I made this statement. She'd had a stroke, and I said, now then, people think, well, they depend on government for everything. And I said, well, what if they do away with Social Security? She says, God's always been there, Brother Melvin.
Yeah.
You'll get that in a minute. He's always been there.
Right. Good.
But see, we don't see that. We take so much for granted. But notice in your Bible to ask help of the Lord. Now, wait till I really show you what I want you to see. If you look back in your Bible, these people begin to pray and seek the Lord. That's what we need to do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had everybody in the White House was down on their knees seeking God. How about the Senate? How about the Congress?
Right.
Wouldn't that be a sight?
Right.
Okay, now watch this. Watch. So go over, if you would, in chapter 20. Now hang on, now watch this. Then thou wilt hear and help. That's in verse 9. And if you look down in verse 12, we have no might against thee, this great company. Brother, I'm telling you before God, I'm talking about in verse 3, they're praying, they're seeking the Lord, they're asking help of the Lord. That's what we need, amen.
Yeah.
But we need that more than we need breath in our body. But we need help. Say it. Say it with me. I need help.
I need help.
Well, why? What did that kill you?
No.
We all need help. But we're the world's best for doing everything we can before we'll ask help.
Amen.
That's like 9/11. How many of y'all remember our President Bush?
Yeah.
Sitting in a schoolroom, and they come and told him that the first plane went in and hit the tower.
Right.
Can you believe that people mocked him and made fun of him because he sort of teared up in front of the TV?
Yeah.
I'm glad, thank God, we had a president that could tear up. But what I'm saying is, the houses, Kelly, the church houses of worship was filled the Sunday after. I mean, there's people hugging each other, loving each other, and we needed God. That we didn't know what was going to happen. We needed God. Now the crisis is over. Now we're right back in the same old rut. Need help. Say amen. Need help. Notice now, they needed help. But I got to show you this. I'll probably run slap out of the building. We don't pray anymore like the early church did. When they prayed, you listen to me, then the foundations were shaken.
Right.
What I'm saying is, how many of you have got lost loved ones? I mean, somebody unsaved. Do you realize if we don't pray for them and pray for them and witness to them and tell them about the Lord, they're going to go to a devil's hell and listen. And somehow or another, we've lost our burden anymore.
Right.
We don't really care. Might as well just admit it. Lord, it bothers me to no end. Now, I got to show you this. Now, I'm chapter 20. I'm trying to behave. There's a praying. I mean, they meant business with God. I'm not talking about these little lay me down to sleep prayers. I'm not talking about that. If you go over to the book of Job, in Job chapter 42, I believe it is, it says when Job prayed for his friends. Do you ever pray for, it's easy to pray for Brother Billy. I can get down on my knees and I can ask God to help him. Nope, not a problem in the world. Why don't you try praying for somebody that you know despises the ground you walk on?
Yes, yes, right.
Try doing that sometimes. Try doing that sometimes.
Right.
Pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Brother Sisson, I'm talking about praying with a determination. I'm talking about like they did, fearing the Lord. We need what I call a tub load of reverential fear thrown to the gable end of our soul.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to heaven. Thank God. I know I'm going to heaven. But hey, I'm left down here to be a good servant of the Lord. And sometimes I ain't the best servant in the Lord. Sometimes I get so sick of myself. Did anybody here like me like that?
Me too.
Now watch this. I got to show you. It's going to jump out on chapter 20. So it's a praying bunch. Look at you, and when they prayed, the place was shaken. I got to thinking about the revival is setting ourselves to seek the Lord. I mean, setting used to in years gone by when you're having revival, they'd announce the revival, and they'd say, "We want you to set aside everything and be here every night."
Right.
And people would use their cars to bring people.
Yes.
They would.
Right.
Her daddy used to take an old flatbed truck. Her dad. And he would warm brick up and set hay bales around it for everybody to sit on, and he'd take them on a flatbed truck to church. And can you believe that that bunch out there didn't want him bringing in people? Ain't that awful? You give me every old drunken heart, give them to me. I like to preach to them, amen.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, sometimes people, I never will forget, do you ever remember Claude Wilson? Preacher? Stoneville, North Carolina? They had an auditorium, it was unbelievable. I mean, you cannot believe what an auditorium back in the 70s. We was down in a revival meeting, and it was unbelievable. And he had done a whole lot of the work himself. Me and him went out and knocked on doors, and I got these kids to come to church that night. And they come and sit right down beside me. Look up here. They come and sit right beside me. And I'll be honest with you. The smell you couldn't hardly stand because they're sitting beside me. Can you believe that them people in that auditorium, a lot of them older, seasoned people, got upset at the cloud because them little boys was there in revival services. Said, "Now we'll have to take and clean them pews." I'll say amen to me. I'd give them the pew they sat on. I'd take it home with you. You ought to be willing to sit somewhere in the corner for somebody to come to the house of God.
Right.
Not gripe about it. Say amen. Now chapter 20. You ready? Now watch this. They set themselves to seek the Lord. Now drop down to verses 14. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Well, glory, thank God. Hey, then came the Spirit, capitalized, in the very midst of the congregation. I don't think our kids have probably ever seen a real moving of God.
That's right.
You should want it.
Amen.
You should hunger for it. You should thirst for it.
Yes.
For the Spirit of the Lord to come and breathe upon us. Amen. I'll not be all these big I's and little U's and you're more important than I am. That's not true.
That's right.
Everybody's so beat down and they just need somebody to love on them. And say, "I want you to know that I care about you." And listen to me for a moment. I'm talking about churches ought to get back to take and caring about one another.
Right.
Wait till the funeral. We had a funeral this week. You remember Charles Bullock? His wife passed away. We had his funeral. Had her funeral. I don't know what day it was. I've had three funerals this past week. But I love Mrs. Bullock. She was a super lady. Brother Charles was so broken. He come up here, and there she laid, and I'm telling you before God, it killed me when he got there. He just went, they've been married for years and years and years, and he bent over the coffin, and a river of tears just gushed out of his eyes. But I know what was going through his mind. He's going to think, I'm going to have to go home to an empty house. I'll be alone. Oh, thank God there ain't going to be no aloneness.
Right.
Brother Billy, where we're going, whoo, there ain't going to be no aloneness. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Do y'all see that?
Yes.
I mean, hey, I was telling them, I don't know where I was at, Valley Oak this week, I was telling them, remember Grady Lemons? Do y'all ever remember Grady? I love Grady. He was a seasoned, he was my mentor.
Right.
He was on that big 50,000 watt station there out of South Carolina. He said, he got a letter in the mail, radio list, been on radio for years. He said, "I want you to come to my home. My husband works second shift, and you need to be here like at a certain time, like 10 o'clock or whatever." So Brother Grady said, "I guess I'll probably get a cussing or a beating," but said, "I'm going to go down there and see what she wanted." So here he goes, and he goes in there and knocks on the door. She said, "My husband works second shift," said, "he'll be up just in a moment." So she invited him in. Brother Grady said, "I was standing there in the middle of the living room." So this man came down out of the bedroom, and he said, "Are you Preacher Lemons?" He stuck out his hand. He said, "My name's so-and-so." He said, "I want you to come with me," and took him by the hand. He said, "You're that radio preacher." He said, "I want you to tone your preaching down." He said, "I want you to look what my wife does every time she makes biscuits." He said, "Look at the dough on that ceiling." She gets happy in the Lord and slings dough on the ceiling. Has the Spirit of God ever come up on you like that? You ever just thank God for cruise control on your car? I do. Hey, Miss Chris, do you ever do this? Let me give you something I want you to do. Next time you're going down the road and you look over and their lips is moving, that's Bluetooth. But let me tell you, when you look over at them and they'll look back at you and you'll say, Jesus loves you. Try doing that sometimes. That's the funniest thing ever was. And you'll look, they'll look at you like that and then they'll drop their head. They don't want you to know if you're looking at them. I'll say, Jesus loves you. Like that. Well, they're talking to the speaker on the phone, on the dash. Why can't I talk to them? Say amen. Then the Spirit of the Lord came up on them. That's what we need. Amen. Now watch. Let me show you. Not only the praying, but notice in verse 20. Now you've got to see verse 20. It says, and they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Listen to me. Not only was they a praying bunch, they was a believing bunch. We're going to have to put a little belief on this thing that God's going to do it. Amen. My wife, God bless her heart. I got to show you this, Jess. I appreciate y'all praying for my wife. She's a little better. I said a little better. I said a little better. I can do that. I've been married 56 years to her. Don't look at me like that. She beats on me half the time. I got all them bruises. She's better. But listen to this. I come home. Most of y'all know she's fought depression. She's had this cancer, and it took all of her motivation away, took all of her energy level away. She started reading her Bible about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I mean, constantly. She read the Bible through in 6 weeks. Well, now, a lady told me the other night, she said, you don't know how glad I am to see Miss Mary smiling. Amen. See, y'all, you take so much for granted, right, just to see her every now and then smile. You can get so beat down and the rug pulled out from under you to where you won't even smile.
You're right.
You go to church and all you do is just sit there.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying is, if you're really saved, we can pray, say amen, but we can believe the Lord that God's going to change people's minds and hearts.
Right.
We can do that. I mean, come to church. You don't have to wait to come to church to start believing God. You can pray at the sink. You can pray driving the automobile. You can pray shopping, amen. Shoot, I have a time down there. You ought to go with me sometime over the post office. We got Greg out, now we have revival. No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, I'm talking about you can pray anywhere, Brother Billy. And I'll tell you what, something else the devil can't take away. He can't take away my belief.
Right, amen.
Do y'all ever pray, do you ever believe positively that God's going to change your son?
Yeah.
How many of y'all have ever prayed and you know beyond any shadow of doubt God answered you? Let me see your hand. You know that God answered your prayer. There's your proof. You don't have to go around. If God don't hear sinners. On the prayer he hears, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Right.
He don't have to. But listen to me, as a child of God, he inclines his ear down to hear you and I. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? We can pray more, we can believe the Lord. Now watch this, chapter 20. This will make you have a spell. Look in your Bible. Not only a believing people, not only a fearing believer, but notice in verse 12, please, you got to see this. Verse 12, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we not what to do. I got to thinking, humbleness anymore is almost a thing of the past.
Right.
We are a proud, egotistical,
right.
I love America.
Amen.
I love it.
Me too.
But I'm telling you, we're not an humble people. We are. We really are. Who in the world ever heard of Jesse? Gender identity.
Yeah.
See, we're all, how many of y'all know what I mean by gender identity?
Right.
Did you know they're now teaching that in schools?
Right.
A little boy or a little girl, they don't know what they are. You got to teach them what they are. Come on.
Yeah. Right.
How many of y'all ever know Kenneth Ostring? Family publication, family. You need to get this month's publication. I'll bring you some tomorrow night, let you read them, on House Bill 67 that they passed in Frankfurt. I never believed in my lifetime, Porter. Never dreamed in my lifetime what was on that paper. They passed this bill to where it was unlawful to have sexual relations with animals, not to protect the individual, but to protect the animal.
Uh-huh.
Kelly, I called every senator and congressman I get a hold of. I'll bring it tomorrow night and you can read it.
Yeah.
Brother, you talk about believing that the Lord's going to come.
Right.
Yeah, Lord Jesus, help us. I can't even believe a bunch of grown-up people would even discuss something like that. Well, you talk to me, Billy. Talk to me. Leviticus 25 says mankind not to lie with mankind. Amen, Sisson. But what I'll bring it tomorrow night, and you can get you some of that, but I want you to listen. They were a praying bunch, and the Spirit of the Lord came among them, but they was also humble people.
Right.
We got so much. I'll be honest with you. Mary, remember when we got married? Notice how quick she come back to that, don't you? How many ties did you have when you and Mr. Chris got married? How many ties did you have?
Probably none.
Did you have a coat like that?
No.
You sorry thing.
I had one. It was too short for me.
I love brother. But think back when you got married and when you started housekeeping. You didn't have nothing, just like me. Look how good God's been so good to us. Look what all we've got. So much stuff. Amen. Stuff. But I got to thinking, Brother Billy, the more you get of this world, the more complicated your life becomes. And the more complicated your life comes, the less you're humble. Did you ever notice that? Boy, you don't know, I seen Brother Billy go over and turn that thermostat up. Boy, I praise God for a thermostat on the wall. Woo! Come on, you could go to outhouse. Or you could have a... Billy, do you remember? You don't remember. Remember you used to, you'd raise the windows, and it'd be so hot, I mean, you didn't even have a fan, Jesse.
Absolutely.
You ought to shout a little, knowing you got an air conditioner and a thermostat on the wall.
How many
of y'all remember used to you couldn't go to bed of a night until it cooled off because you couldn't go to sleep? Didn't even have a fan. Didn't have no air conditioning. Look how good God been to you. Amen. Well, I opened my closet up and I seen all them ties and all these shirts and I said, woo, glory! Because I remember when I didn't have no ties or shirts. Are y'all listening? Not a humble people. Look at our churches. We're not humble anymore. Look how good God's been to you. Look what all y'all got. Man, we was this morning, this building had a beautiful auditorium. What went through my mind, there were increased with goods and have need of nothing.
Right.
We don't even want God to show up. We got to hurry up and get out of there. We got 12 o'clock and I got to go to the house. You know I'm telling you the God's honest truth. We're not a humble people. The altars anymore is not even. You know what a man done this past week? I could not believe it. This man literally got upset because the preacher asked him to come to the altar. Ain't that awful, Brother Billy? An altar's where we die to ourselves. An altar, when you get out on your knees before God, you can pray in your pew. I agree with that. You can pray anywhere. I'm not saying that. But I mean to get on your knees before God and say, God, I admit, Lord, I've come to the end of myself. I need you to help me. But people don't do that anymore. They don't think we don't need help. We got it all planned. We got all this planned out. God can mess our plans up.
Right.
In a millisecond, your life can change just like that.
That's right.
In a millisecond. You can be in intensive care.
Right.
Your life can change. What would you do with this? How would y'all handle this? What if you, after all the years, and your husband said, I don't love you anymore, and I'm leaving you. Nothing bad, no, not another person involved, just walked off. I don't love you anymore. I don't care about you anymore. I don't care whether you live or die. This man I just told you about that killed himself, his wife is not even going to have the funeral till next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, because they had a horse show. I had a funeral this past, I don't know when it was. The woman was an hour and 20 minutes late at the graveside. And the only reason she came was because of her daughter. She wasn't even going to come to the layout. Ain't that awful? We're living in a loveless society. We just don't care about each other anymore. Let me show you this. Chapter 20. So we find that they needed help. It is a praying bunch of people, a humble bunch of people. Their own confession. We have no mind. Lord, we need you. Now watch this. Look in verse 18. I got to show you this. I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else. Verse 17. For the Lord will be with you. But now look in chapter 8. Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Do y'all see that? Underscore it. It says he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And then it says all of Judah. How many of y'all see that? Raise your hand. I got to show it. Hey, Brother Billy, if I got any sense at all, don't that mean this? All right, he bowed his head to the ground, all of Judah, right or wrong?
Right.
do this. Now watch. I want you to read it. Read it with me. All of Judah, all the people, that's back up in verses 18. Now look, and they fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now watch this. Look down to verse 19. The Levites of the children of Kohath and the children of Korah, they stood up to pray. One, they bowed down. Amen, brother and sister. And they had their heads to the ground. And the other one, they stood up to praise the Lord. So worship is inward and praise is outward. Amen. They stood up to praise the Lord out of the God of Israel with a loud voice. Now, brother and sister, I just don't see all this noise. Y'all going to be out of place in heaven. You just don't hardly hear it anymore. Amens. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right. You just don't hardly hear it. You do it at ball games, they scream and holler and yell. Kick chairs, come across the auditorium, show themselves. Ain't that awful? I have never understood this. Somebody get, Porter, you can give me some insight. How does this happen? I wish somebody would tell me. They go up to Lexington, right or wrong, when they're going to have the ball, start the basketball thing. What do you call it? What? I didn't hear what. Yeah, maybe. I don't know what. Where are they going to sit? They get in line to get a ticket.
Midnight Madness.
You know all about it, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't understand it, Porter. They go out there and pouring down rain for 3 or 4 days to get a ticket to get in the auditorium. But you couldn't buy them, bribe them to pay them to come to the house of God. And then they complain, oh, I've got this wrong with me, I've got this wrong with me. I mean, they said, I turned the rain to get a ticket to go to a ball game. Then drive all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, and then from there drive all the way to Tallahassee, Florida. I've never understood it. Jesus done a lot more for me than that ball game stuff. Whoopee! Whoopee! I don't understand it, girl. I just don't understand the mentality. It says they bowed themselves, then it says to the ground, and then the Bible says they stood to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yippee, yippee, whoopee. I love Billy in my heart. Notice in your Bible it says they stood to praise the Lord. Did y'all get that? Underscore it, please. One, they bowed down. The next one, they're standing up. One is outward, one is inward. It's okay to get on your knees before God. It's all right to stand and praise the Lord. Do you ever wonder why a policeman says, hands up? He will make sure you ain't got nothing in your hands. All right, if you ever wonder why that people stand like this and praise the Lord, have you ever wondered why? Got nothing in your hands. Not a thing. I'm a helpless person, Brother Billy. Billy, we're helpless. I ain't got nothing in my hands, Lord. I can't no means of defense. Boy, I sure need God to breathe upon me.
Amen.
I depend upon him for my food. I depend upon him for my health.
Right.
But see, it's either revival or die.
Yes.
I'm telling you, folks, we're dying a slow death.
Yes.
Our homes are falling apart. Our church is falling apart. I talk to preachers all the time, and they're always asking me, how do you motivate people? Look at me. I don't know how you motivate them.
Right.
I don't know how you motivate people. I just know this, just fall in love with the Lord. Say amen right there.
Yes, amen.
That's about all the motivation. You know he does counseling sessions? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Right.
If you apply what you hear, you...
Help a lot.
Right. Amen, sister. Y'all didn't get that, went right up. What I'm saying is, preaching will solve 99.9 of your problems if you apply it to your life Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now listen, chapter 20, chapter 19, they've compromised. Chapter 20, they're getting right with the Lord. Now they're praising God. Now they're on their faces before God. They're admitting that they needed help, and God helped Jehoshaphat.
Amen.
Now I don't care what kind of problem you have, the Lord's able to help you with that problem. God cares about every phase of your life. But folks, our churches, I'm telling you before God, we don't have a burden anymore for people.
Yes, right.
In Malachi, we're living in that time when it says the burden of the Lord has ceased. Where is the... See, I come out of a different time than y'all did. I can remember when I was preaching at over at Yosemite years ago, I can remember the little puddles of tears all over the hardwood floor. I can remember little puddles of tears where people had a burden for that whole community. That was long before they ever had the First Baptist Church over there, before they ever had the building that they had. You know what I want to do tonight? Let's stand. Boy, you've been so attentive. Brother Porter, would you come to the piano, please? How many of you tonight would come and say, Brother Sisson, boy, we sure need a moving of God. Sure, I sure do need help. I need help. Are y'all listening to me? They said, Lord, help us. Help us. Now I'm going to ask you, how many of you just get out of your seat tonight and come to an old-fashioned altar and get on your knees and say, God, please help me. Or we sure need a moving of God. We need God to breathe upon us. Help us in our homes. Help me with my children. Boy, they was worshiping.